It ain't the left side or the right side, then it must be the fin side.
Good evening, Dolphins fans. Welcome to another episode here of On the Fin Side with Kat and Paul. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, all of our different social media outlets. Also, we're also the official provider here for the podcast for finfanatic.com, as well as the Fansided Network. We're continuing our position-by-position breakdown here with a very big need for the Dolphins here, arguably one of their top needs heading into the NFL draft at running back. And Paul and I have a lot of differing opinions on this. We look forward to talking about here. We are just, 18 days away from the NFL draft. So we're continuing to go through our positional previews here. So, Paul, before we get into that, though, a Dolphins history question for you. Who is one player that was drafted in the first round that was not a Dolphin, but for some reason was being put in the first round by everybody, wasn't drafted by the Dolphins, but just watching the NFL draft, you just couldn't understand, why is this guy projected as a first round pick?
Hey, Dolphins fans. This podcast is brought to you by Danette May and Mindful Health LLC, featuring Danette May's top superfood product from her Earth Echo Foods line, Cacao Bliss. Nothing feels better than being able to enjoy rich, smooth, creamy chocolate and knowing you are doing something good for your body. We start with 100% organic cacao beans that are naturally kissed by the sun, maintaining its miraculous health benefits. Then we blend it with turmeric, MCT oil, coconut, Himalayan sea salt, cinnamon, and black pepper for the perfect blend to make you feel the best you ever have. The result? Fall in love with a truly decadent, healthy, guilt-free chocolate, removing your cravings, facilitating weight loss, boosting your energy, and reducing your inflammation with one simple drink. Not only that, it is friendly to paleo, gluten-free, keto, vegan, and vegetarian diets. For the last 8 years, we have been a leader in the superfoods market and are proud to have served millions of customers worldwide. We are offering up to 15% off when you use code MINUTE15 at earthechofoods.com/minutemedia. Follow on social media at The Danette May and at Earth Echo Foods.
There have been so many through the years, but I'm going to use one that's going to just rip open sores for a few Dolphins fans just because I'm in that kind of mood tonight. Brady Quinn. I thought Brady was going to be hot buttered ass at the next level, and boy was I right. He was so bad, and I know so many Dolphin fans wanted him, thought he was the second coming of Dan Marino, and all these. He was so bad, so bad.
Yeah, I've got a couple in mind too, but I'm going to say Sam Darnold. I never got it with this guy, and I still don't to this day. Where I felt at USC in his final year, the guy was a complete turnover machine. And I watched him go up against Josh Rosen, one-on-one. And I had no doubt in that game who played like significantly the better quarterback. Rosen stunk, but I never got it with Darnold. And he was picked third overall by the Jets, but up until draft day, a week before the draft, there was no doubt who the number one pick was going to be by the Browns, and it was Sam Darnold. I just could never understand it. Another guy, too, if I'm throwing another one, Danny Watkins. If you remember him, he was a first-round pick in 2011. He was a 27-year-old offensive tackle, and he was a first-round pick by everybody. He was going to have to kick into guard to play at a low-impact position. He came in and he was not even a good offensive guard. So those were two that I did that I was definitely feel that I nailed.
I got another one. I can't think of his damn name. He got traded away from the Falcons for a ham sandwich. The one that walked up to the podium swearing about his grandma with a big...
Tack McKinley.
Yes, I couldn't get it with him. Like, I watched him.
Okay.
Dude, he's terrible.
Full disclosure, I like Tack McKinley a little bit. I understood the limitations, but yeah.
Football was a limitation.
Yeah, when he immediately, right into the league, he breaks FCC violations on the air. I mean, that was a funny day. Anyway, let's take a look here at the running back class here. And, you know, it's different this year for me as far as the running backs, because typically I am a person who doesn't value the running back position very highly, but I feel differently about it this year for a couple of reasons. And I think the Dolphins do need to get one here in the first 36 picks for a couple of reasons. Last year, the Dolphins were 29th in yards per carry. They're 22nd in yards on the ground. The year before, they were 32nd in yards per carry and 32nd on the ground in yards. I mean, but you look at it like now this year, I mean, no running backs hit free agency. I mean, Aaron Jones gets re-signed right beforehand. A lot of people didn't want to shelve out that money anyway. I thought it was tempting, but overall didn't really, I was relieved when he didn't hit free agency. But you've really got three running backs that stick out here at the top for that. You've got Najee Harris, you've got Javonte Williams, you've got Travis Etienne. I know we're probably going to differ a little bit on this class in general, but for me, I look at this class and think, if you don't get one of these top three running backs, you're in trouble.
I don't know if I'd go that far with it. Now, you definitely need to get someone here. You definitely have to get someone here in this draft. Do not get me wrong. But who the Dolphins go after is going to depend upon what their plan is, not just this year, but long term. Because I'm going to let you in on a little secret. I don't hate Myles Gaskin. He had a very good efficiency rating when he was running the football. He just got hurt a lot, and he's not built to be an every down back. I don't hate Savon Ahmed. He just got hurt a lot, and he's not built to be an every down back. And I hate to break it to people, but Patrick Laird, when Tua was in, showed some decent chemistry with Tua as a potential third down back. So I want one of these top three, but there's a lot of guys I like after if you're planning to do a platoon. And if you're planning to do a platoon at running back and you've got a long-term plan to have Myles Gaskin be in the fold and be part of a platoon, you don't take a running back in the first round if you're planning to platoon them long-term. You just don't. Like, it's a waste of a pick if they're only going to be on the field a maximum of 50% of the time.
Myles Gaskin definitely earned the right to be back on the field this year. And I take a different approach to it. I think if you get one of these top three running backs, one of these top three running backs is going to be a top 10 back at the end of his rookie year, when you look at the return on investment. And then you've got Myles Gaskin, who I think is going to be one of the best backup running backs in the league, and is going to be on the field quite often because of his ability not only to see the hole and hit it, but also to catch passes too. So I think you're going to have, if you grab one of these top three guys, I think you have a great 1-2 combo. And what I don't want to see, and what will infuriate me, is if we're sitting here a year from today and, well, I just don't understand why it didn't work. We drafted a running back in the third or fourth round, and we put him behind a C-plus offensive line. Why couldn't we run the ball again? It doesn't make any sense.
Well, and I'm going to differ from you in another respect, and I apologize. I probably should have
bring it, Paul.
Forewarned you about this off the air. I've hit the point now where I'm going to say top four running backs on my list for the Dolphins, because Kenneth Gainwell, if he played his senior year, he would have been right there in the conversation with Najee, with Travis Etienne, and with Javonte. He sat out his final year because he lost four family members to COVID, but he looked like one of the most explosive backs, if not the most explosive backs in football in 2019. And what he probably would have done for Memphis to build off of that would have been insane. And I think he could end up being the steal of the draft, and he might be a guy in the third round, even though I'd grab him with, you know, maybe pick 50 or so.
Yeah, Gainwell, yeah, incredible 2019 season. That was really the only year he played football, because in 2018 he had four rushes. 2019 he had 231 rushes for 1,459 yards and 610 yards receiving. And also on that team was Antonio Gibson, who played for Washington this past year and was phenomenal. So yeah, he had an unbelievable 2019 season there, was an AAC player of the year as well. So yeah, you've got a little bit of depth here. I've got him sixth on my list as far as how it relates to the Dolphins, because I see him and I see a lot of things that Miles Gaskin can do, which that may not necessarily be a bad thing when it comes to Gainwell and Miles Gaskin on the same team. I would still, though, like to have that big back that everybody prepares for from week to week, yes, with Miles Gaskin as the backup.
You don't have to sell me on big back. Like, it's, you know, I've been preaching for years, I want that guy that can run into the line, and whether there's a hole or not, there is one for him.
Excuse me. I should clarify, a big good back.
Oh, well, you know, I dude, if you want to put Christian Wilkins at running back, I'd be down for that. Like, I love my fat running backs. I love it even more when they've got speed and elusiveness. Guys like Ramondre Stevenson, who you've heard me talk about. I believe it or not, I was very shocked, because going into Senior Bowl week, I wanted to see a lot from him. We didn't hear a lot. We didn't hear a lot of good. But I've started to hear that he actually impressed a lot of coaches at the Senior Bowl, which surprised me, considering he didn't really do all that much that we saw physically. But the way he slimmed down, with his explosiveness and things like that. I know he was ill for a portion of the week. I've actually heard that he impressed people. So he's somebody that, I mean, you look at his year this year when he came back from suspension, and the fact that he nutted up and played through it, not like a Kylan Hill. Kylan Hill got suspended and said, screw this, I'm not coming back then, for a locker room incident. I mean, how stupid is that?
Yeah, Kylan Hill should have come out last year. Travis Etienne should have come out last year. Chuba should have come out last year. So those three guys, if you were a running back, you definitely don't go back for another season after you have had the seasons that they did in 2019. But, yeah, Ramondre Stevenson, yeah, he was suspended 6 games. He failed a drug test. He moves unbelievably well for his size. You watch him, he's, you know, he weighed in at 230 something pounds at the combine at the Senior Bowl. So he showed the ability to slim down, played more at like 240 there at Oklahoma. But when I watched him on tape, I did not see somebody that looked like he was 240 pounds for the good and the bad. He looked slimmer when he was running the ball, but I didn't see a powerful running back. And from that point, I was like, is there a big difference for me if he's 215 pounds or if he's 240 pounds, if I don't see that power that a 240-pound running back is supposed to bring?
What games did you watch, man? I saw him truck stick people. Like, he showed patience. He showed patience. He showed a lot of patience.
Patience, yes.
Letting the hole develop.
He goes down easily. I mean, even the Florida game when he was good. When he had a great game, I watched about 4 games of Ramondre Stevenson. This guy goes down way too easily on contact for his size.
We're gonna have to agree to disagree on that, because we're gonna have the Ramondre Stevenson contact show if we don't. We got a lot of running backs to get through here, but
yeah, we sure do.
I'm a little shocked to hear that one.
Yeah, I.
By the way, Jersey Dolphins, thank you, brother. Thank you. Anyway. Go ahead.
So let's, you know, we've talked about the kind of second tier of running backs, or a few of them here. Let's start at the top, though, because the top three running backs, I think we're in agreement, no particular order. Najee Harris, Javonte Williams, Travis Etienne. Not in that exact order there, but are those your top three guys there?
Yeah, but I like I said before, I have Gainwell in that tier, but not at the top of it.
Got it. So Gainwell's your fourth guy. Okay, yeah, we'll circle back to that too. But number one on my list, and it, by an increasing margin, is Najee Harris. But I understand you have a different one at the top of your list.
Yeah, for me, Najee is number two. I think we've gotten a little too Bama wild, and I hate to say it, but as good as Alabama is, I do tend to discount running backs at times. I love Najee. I think he's going to be a great pro. But he also played behind a far superior line to Javonte in particular. I mean, Travis Etienne played for Clemson. You know, it's Clemson and Alabama have two of the best teams in football every year, year in and year out. But watching Javonte and the yards after contact, I love yards after contact. And it's, you know, you watch him, he's running through arm tackles, he's running through form tackles, and twisting and fighting for every yard while still having good presence of mind and protecting the football. So for me, it's Javonte took the lead here, and the fact that I want them to take Pitts at six makes Javonte even more exciting. Because if Pitts has safeties and linebackers going nuts watching him and Gesicki, and you know they've got guys burning down the field on the outside, it's going to be less guys in the box for Javonte to run over. Not just around, which he can do, but literally just destroy. And then you've got two big tight ends downfield, one of whom can help block.
Yeah, Javonte led the nation, according to PFF's metrics, with 75 broken tackles, and he only carried the ball 157 times. And I think it's a good thing that he split time there with Michael Carter, because he comes into the league and he doesn't have 600-700 hits on his body. He only carried the ball 366 times at North Carolina. So I like him a lot too. He's number two on my list because, or for a couple of reasons, is one, I think Najee Harris can do a lot more things on the football field. When he went to his pro day, he legitimately ran wide receiver route trees at 6'2", 230 pounds. He doesn't have Javonte's ability to get into the hole and break tackles as easily, but I think he always falls forward for yardage, and he's able to be a much more consistent back. Reminds me a lot of Edgerrin James back in the day. One little problem I have with Javonte Williams too is his lateral quickness. I think he has to be running north to south. When he tries to bounce it to the outside, that's where he gets caught. Najee has a little bit more understanding of defensive angles and is able to exploit those a lot more easily. So Najee is not someone to shake a finger at for anybody, really, because, and I'm not saying you're doing that, but this is the former number two overall high school recruit back in 2017 behind Jalen Phillips. So I don't think you can go wrong with either of those two backs there. The question is, do you just say the heck with it and take him at 18, or do you continue to pressure luck?
Yeah, it's, and I'm torn because every time I do a mock draft, 99% of the times, either somebody's sitting on the board that ridiculously should not be, or I just hate all the picks. I hate the picks. I've either got to reach for somebody early, which I do feel 18 is a reach for Najee. I do, but if he is Flores and Greer's guy, take him, go get him. If he produces, or anybody produces that you take at that 18 spot, you're going to forget real quick that it was a reach. But I don't love that. I hate picking 18th. Like, I'd rather pick 32nd most years than 18th.
I hated picking 18th last year, too, because I wanted to trade up for one of those tackles. Or I wanted to, worst case scenario, trade back. You want to trade back 20 spots and get Austin Jackson? That would have been fine with me. And I kind of feel that same way in this draft. What makes it a little bit different, too, is that with this running back group, for me, if you're trading back from 18 to 28, let's say in the first round, you're probably going to get a third-round pick. And then it's like, are you really going to risk the top running back in the draft if we're talking about that? So I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I think this is a – this is a team that presses their luck at running back. I think they did that last year. You see the success of the second round running backs, Jonathan Taylor and J.K. Dobbins, DeAndre Swift, how they all really justified that second round pick. Do you really want to press your luck again when you haven't been able to find that bell cow running back?
Maybe. It's going to depend on what the team wants to do and what they view it as. If they've got there's multiple draft philosophies, and one of them is that flat board where you've got your tiers of, all right, any one of these three guys or any one of these four guys or two guys or whatever are right here equal. And if you feel you have to use the 18th pick to get Najee, but you know for a fact one of those guys is going to be there at 36, that's a no-brainer. You take a good player at another position that you're not going to be able to fill at 36, and you know you can fill it with one of these other two at 36. And that's where I sit, too, on the running back position. Javonte is almost always there when I do mocks, and I believe he's going to be there at 36. And worst comes to worst, you know, one of these three, it is so rare that three running backs go in the first round of a draft.
Right.
That one of these is almost absolutely going to be there at 36. And at worst, if you've got Gainwell in that tier like I do, at worst, Gainwell is going to be sitting there, probably at pick 50.
Yeah, and you see last year, I mean, I think you had eight running backs drafted, 32 down to 30. The first one was Clyde Edwards-Helaire at 32. And then I think Gibson was somewhere in the 70s. He was the eighth running back taken. So and there was a lot of production from those guys. So, yeah, that's absolutely possible. And if anything, the value of running backs as how they're seen in the league has probably dropped from last year. So, yeah, I could see that. I mean, and I've always said that, too, where maybe the strategy should be that you say that, hey, look, we're going to get either Najee Harris, Javonte Williams, or Travis Etienne at 36. One of those three is going to be there. And Etienne is that third guy. And he's also somebody that we've talked about quite a bit. Should have come out last year. Went back to Clemson, and he did it for a specific reason, to work on his receiving skills. And it paid off for him because you take a look at his stats from before this year. He had more catches he had more receiving yards, 588 this past year, than he did his three previous years combined. Yeah, he has breathtaking speed. A little bit of my problem with him, though, is in between the tackles, he doesn't have great running instincts, and he needs to get out into an open field in order to maximize that speed. He's not somebody who, in between the tackles, is going to do the work that Najee or Javonte Williams do.
Yeah, I mean, it's Etienne is probably the best wide receiver of the three of them, receiver out of the backfield of the three of them. But that being said, I'm going to get away from the top three for a minute here, because one guy that does intrigue me, and I'm going probably 10th or 11th on my list here, but is a very huge fit for what the Dolphins started to lay their blueprint for on offense, that positionless offense and things they want to do. Now, this does not preclude you from taking one of the top three running backs, but the NFL is starting to slide in a weird direction with the running back position with these hybrid running back wide receivers. And I think you probably can guess which guy I'm going to with this. One of the guys I do enjoy watching, a lot of folks have speculated he's going to be a slot receiver at the NFL level. But he's somebody that can also run the ball effectively out of the backfield, and you can do those creative things with what we were talking about before, where you can run the same personnel for five wide and basic or goal line and get a better, more athletic version of Malcolm Perry, who I really like and I know a lot of Dolphins fans like. And that's Demetric Felton from UCLA. He was explosive. I had it in front of me how many I've got so many things open for this because I have so many running backs I like. He was probably one of the most effective receiving backs out of the backfield, but he could also run and run effectively.
Yeah, Demetric Felton, I think he should stay at running back. He had a good Senior Bowl week too as a receiver, but he could do probably more damage at the running back spot. And I don't think he's a bad running back in general. I mean, I think he can get out into space and, you know, he can return kicks. My one thing I have with Felton is that he kind of reminds me a little bit of Dexter McCluster, if you remember him from the mm-hmm. Chiefs back several years ago, is that, yes, he can do it at running back and he can do it at receiver. He can do it as a returner. Is he great in any of those areas? Probably not, but also I think he's also somebody that you're probably going to end up drafting in the fifth round or so.
Yeah, and there's a lot of these guys in that like fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh undrafted area that I'm ridiculously intrigued by.
So before we get into that, I'm going to have you table that just for a second there, Paul. So yeah, I've got really on my list here, Najee Harris, Javonte Williams, Travis Etienne as my top three guys. Then I have very closely ranked the next three, which are, and this is really for the Dolphins, in no particular order, Trey Sermon, Kenneth Gainwell, and Michael Carter. Now, Gainwell, I think, overlaps with a little bit of what Miles Gaskin does. He's a good receiver out of the backfield, and Gainwell actually played in the slot a lot too. So he does have the that real wide receiver type of ability too. Trey Sermon is somebody to keep an eye on too, because he was a transfer from Oklahoma. He played 3 years there, came to Ohio State, and the word I keep going back to with him is contact balance. And if the Dolphins do get that pass catcher here at number six to team with Devontae Parker, Will Fuller, and Mike Gesicki, I think you're going to be able to spread the field out, and he's going to be able to get past the first wave of defenders and pinball off those linebackers and safeties like he did in the games against Michigan State and against Northwestern. He fascinates me a little bit. I could see a scenario where if the Dolphins go best player available with, you know, four of their top 50 picks and then go with him in the third round, even though I prefer one of the top three guys, I would probably be happy with that. Michael Carter is Javonte Williams' teammate, obviously, at North Carolina, and, you know, had better stats than him and was more of the lead back compared to him. He's more of a jitterbug type. He had one of the fastest short shuttles, meaning it, and what that really measures is the ability to really get out of your stance and get into the hole quickly. You see that on tape too. He's also a good receiving back. He also had 23 plays of 20 yards that led the nation here this past year. So he's somebody that I don't know if he's ever going to be a lead back, but man, he could be a really good 1-2 combo with somebody as well, if you can get him kind of in that third, fourth round area. So we've talked about kind of this top tier of backs, Paul. Who else jumped out for you there at the running back spot as we get deeper along here?
So like I said before, my top tier is definitely Javonte, Najee, Etienne, and then Gainwell. After that, I've got Carter and Kylan Hill, followed by Ramondre and Sermon, who we've talked about, all those guys. After that, I've got a little bit of a surprise up here, and he's somebody that I think is going to be much later in the draft than some of the guys after him on my list, but I think he is possibly more effective and I really like at the next level, and that's Elijah Mitchell from the Raging Cajuns. You and I talked about him when I first caught on to him. He's part of a three-headed monster and has been for a couple of years, but he's definitely the most explosive. He's a team captain, which don't discount that. Chris Greer and Brian Flores love drafting people with that big C on their chest. While they will give people second chances, they love high character guys that love football. And if you look at Elijah Mitchell, he just jumps off the page if you watch his tape. I mean, he's 5'10", 201. He ran a 4.38. He can make that one-cut run, and he's a leader out there on the field, which he's not the biggest guy. He's not that big plug-it-into-the-line guy like I like, but he can catch the ball out of the backfield, and he doesn't have a lot of tread on the tires because of the fact that, you know, he's running with Trey Regis, who's probably going to go undrafted in this draft, and I actually have on my do not draft list, and the fact that, you know, he was sharing carries with two other guys in a rushing attack offense down there in the bayou in Louisiana and Lafayette.
Yeah, he's a former wide receiver too, so he's certainly got the athleticism. Yeah, he's somebody that is starting to rise on boards a little bit, kind of into that top 10 tier of running backs there. So what I found interesting too, after you talked about Ramondre Stevenson there, I think we both have a higher opinion of a lot of people on Kylan Hill, because he had a disaster of a of a 2020 season where he played three games. I basically opted in, he opted out. But the year before that, I mean, he not only had great stats. I mean, he had 1,350 rushing yards, 11 touchdowns. Should have come out in the draft, did not, had a nightmare of a year with at Mississippi State, but I think he looks the part. I mean, he carries his 214-pound frame really well. He had a great game that showcases receiving skills against LSU, where he had 8 catches for 148 yards, moves well in space. He's somebody, if you're looking for traits out of a running back to develop, yeah, I mean, he's somebody that I've got to say I'd probably have over Chuba Hubbard.
I definitely have him over Chuba Hubbard, which if you asked me last draft, I think I was talking about Chuba after his 2019 season, and I'm so ridiculously disappointed in Chuba's senior year. I moved Chuba all the way down to 16th on my list. That's how bad this season was for him.
Wow.
That's how bad his pass protection is. He looks like a worse blocker than Mike Gesicki, and it's not even close. And that's... that's saying something considering how much I've destroyed Mike Gesicki and his blocking ability.
If you run for 2,064 yards in a season, which is top 20 in NCAA history, then you come out after that season if you're eligible to. And he did not. He went back, did not have a good year. I feel like I could tackle him in an open field. That's how easily he went down this past year.
I think 20-yard line tackled him at least 12 times this year.
He's a fifth, sixth rounder at best for me. I'm not interested, and he can't be a third down back. Really, he can't block. He can't catch the ball. He can't return. No, I'm out.
He's a recovery project if there ever was one. If you tell me that they grab him in the seventh or undrafted, fine. But in all honesty, you know, after Elijah Mitchell, ahead of Chuba Hubbard, I've got Jamar Jefferson, Demetric Felton, Khalil Herbert, Larry Roundtree, Javian Hawkins, and Chris Evans. And Chuba's not that far ahead of Jarrett Patterson and Puka Williams, who Puka just needs to get bigger. And then I might even make a case for Kenne and Wangu if Miami's looking for a returner, if they're going to move on from Jakeem Grant, which we don't want them to do.
Puka Williams, 4 bench press reps.
Dude, he's the size of my... I literally have 9U kids I'm coaching that are only about 8 pounds less than Puka Williams.
Yeah, 4 bench press reps. I rest my case.
He's
105.9, 175. I mean, he's...
And that's a lie. He's not 175 pounds.
Yeah. So you're just strengthening the... I mean, you might as well put Tutu Atwell at running back at this pace.
I'd be down.
So, but the rest of our list here is pretty similar. Chris Evans is somebody who has had a disastrous last 2 years. I mean, 2019, he was academically ineligible. 2020, he was buried on the depth chart. I think he had like 16 carries. But somehow he got invited to Senior Bowl week, and he looked really good. He looks like he has the traits. There's no doubt about that. So he's somebody that I think when you start looking at, you know, fifth, sixth round, maybe that's somebody you take a look at. Going through a few of the other players in the list, Khalil Herbert, very good vision, no elite traits, but had a really nice 2020 season for Virginia Tech. Had 1,183 yards, 7.6 yards a carry after he transferred over here from Kansas. Jamar Johnson, great vision, and I think he looks like he just gets it on the football field, just doesn't have a lot of burst. Again, kind of in that fifth, sixth round area. Larry Roundtree, I've seen a lot of him. I'm a Missouri fan. And when you see him in pads at, you know, chiseled 220 pounds, wearing the number 34, running downhill, you think you've got a great running back here, but never really quite broke a lot of tackles. So
looks like Tarzan plays like Jane. That's the first one of the year.
Exactly.
Well, That's the first one of the year.
Shout out to the late, great Joel Buschbaum on that. So Paul, we've talked about a lot of running backs here. What would be your – any running back in this draft, what would be your ideal situation of how the Dolphins handle running back in this 2021 NFL draft?
I would go Javonte at 36.
Okay.
And if Javonte is not there, I would consider if Miami were to say trade down from 18 a little bit and add a third round pick, I would consider Ramondre Stevenson there. I would consider,
you'd consider Ramondre in the third round?
I would.
Okay, I thought you meant you were going to consider him at 26. At which point, this podcast was going to end.
So. No.
Yeah, I mean,
I would consider him in the third round. Like, it's what I've seen from him. I would be down for, or I would even take Demetric Felton in the late third or early fourth, depending on what you add in a trade down, or potentially a trade up. Well, I mean, we know Greer's going to move all over the board, so really, even though we don't have a fourth rounder right now, I believe, based on my last look, I'd consider Demetric Felton as early as the fourth because he fits into the things that Miami's doing on offense. But I want, first and foremost, Javonte or one of the other top four in the second round.
Yeah, I'm sticking with that too. I've said it for months. One of these top three guys, Najee Harris, Javonte Williams, Travis Etienne at 36, that's the ideal spot. Because I think that as the days go by, pick number 18 is going to be a spot where there's going to be somebody there we can't believe made it there. I made a list of players that the other day that it was the there's no way in hell that they're going to make it to 18 list. And you've got 16 players on that list. You know some teams are going to reach on guys here. So it wouldn't surprise me at 18 if a Rashawn Slater or a Christian Darrisaw or a Micah Parsons is there. Individually, they're probably not going to make it to 18. But one guy is. It happens every year, and I think it's going to happen here for the Dolphins too. And it would be great if they could get Kyle Pitts at 6. A value guy at 18, and then hit their running back there at 36.
And I'm going to be honest with you because you just mentioned it. I know it's away from our running back position a little bit, but it does impact it. Is if Micah Parsons is there at 12, 13, 14, he is, maturity issues aside, he's come out, he's addressed those. Hopefully he's moved on from those. He was a 17, 18-year-old kid. At the time, he was an idiot. Guess what? I was an idiot at 17 or 18. Not in the same way. Do not get me wrong. What he did was stupid. But if he is there at 12, 13, 14, I could be perfectly okay if Miami packaged even a little bit of an emergency package to go up and get one of the top position players at his position to come out in the past decade as far as a defender goes, and the fact that he's going to get more possessions for the offense with the way he creates turnovers and helps stop drives, he is going to make the offense better from the defensive side of the ball based on field position and things like that.
And with Parsons, the reality is where we sit, you know, this could be a huge problem, the immaturity. It could be nothing, because you look at a few of these players that had immaturity issues back in over the last few years. You know, Malik McDowell, Reuben Foster, players that forget about Darius Geis is another one. Isaiah Wilson. These are players that forget about, not being a start. These players didn't even make it to the field, a lot of them. So it's a very serious thing, but that is up to the NFL teams to decide as far as the maturity goes. Could be nothing, could be a deeper problem. That's up for them to decide. But the talent is certainly there if he passes those evaluations. So, Paul, before we sign off here, anything else jump out today?
Yeah, one thing I want to say, too, that I just want to bring up is – my nope list that's in pen, Chuba is almost on there. And if Chuba's almost on there, Rakeem Boyd was the even more atrocious version of Chuba Hubbard in 2020. Like, after a huge 2019, looked like the most atrocious player in college football in 2020. So he's completely off my list here. And one guy I do want to mention, even though he didn't come out and I'm pissed about it, that I'm kind of keeping an eye on for next year, is Jermaine Martin from North Carolina A&T. He, like, wow. Talk about your deep cuts, right? He went to the freaking Coastal Carolina, had a gun issue, recovered from it, got a second chance from North Carolina A&T, and is destroying people. And as a show of good faith for the commitment that they made to him, decided to return for the spring season this year. Basically said, look, you guys committed to me when no one else would. I could come out for the draft, probably go late round or undrafted, but really make a roster and be that impact guy. But I'm going to come back because of the faith you showed me and return that favor, which does huge character things for me with this kid. And he's a guy I'm watching for next year, even though he's at this small school. You watch his tape, and you will want him in Aqua and Orange next year's draft. So one, I'm going to bring that up now.
One late rounder here that I'll throw in there is Jaquan Hardy from Tiffin University. Ran a 4.53, 19 bench reps, looks the part, and actually went to the same college as former Saints and Jets running back Chris Ivory. So he's somebody that I think is going to get a look in the late rounds and as an undrafted free agent. So what, we're going to
– I got one more. I got to give it to a fullback. Ben Mason. I will take him in the 7th round. Don't you start. He almost threw up 30 on the bench. And, you know, he ran a 4.74, but you don't want your fullbacks to be fast. 6'3", 246. Hello, short yardage. Let's go.
Except nobody does that anymore. And
the Dolphins, do they sign a fullback this offseason? They keep looking for fullbacks.
Yeah, they.
Don't tell me the Dolphins don't go fullback.
Yeah. So Seathan Carter? You're talking about?
Yeah.
He's a tight end. I'm fine with that. You want to sign a tight end that's 6'3", 260 that doubles as a tight end? That's fantastic. You want to get a useless stub, 6 foot, 240 pound nothing.
Kyle Pitts, Christian Wilkins, and Ben Mason on short yardage in that backfield. Yeah. Let's go.
I'll give you a few other names. Chandler Cox, Reagan Mui.
I was never big on Dyer. Cox.
I love Deion Dyer, but, you know, hey.
Dude, Deion Dyer, don't diss Deion Dyer. He was amazing as a guest on the show.
Deion Dyer was phenomenal as a blocking fullback 20 years ago. Deion Dyer would even admit himself he couldn't play in 2021. So, anyway, that's going to do it.
Ricky would debate you on that.
For our emotion.
I'm going to let you debate Jamie Nails and Ricky Williams on that one.
All right. So we're going to end the show here. And we've broken down the running back class here. For the 2021 NFL draft through a Miami Dolphins lens, be sure to stay with us here as we approach draft day. We're going to start breaking down the edge positions as well as all the other spots here that we haven't gotten to yet. I'm Brian Catt, NFL on Twitter, Paul is Fanatic_pick. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, all of our social media outlets, as well as Fansided and FinFanatic.com. And if it's not on the right side and it's not on the left side, it is on the Fin side.